Thank the Lord this morning for each one that's here, and very thankful for our children and young people. Just seeing them this morning, the children, with all the hard work that they have done. I want to commend all of you children for the hours that you spent in memorizing all of those verses. And the young people this morning, just seeing you all get up and sing, I just want you to know we all love all of you very much, and we're praying for you, and I know I say it often, but we are counting on you all. We're depending on you. You are not the church of tomorrow. You are an integral part of the church today, and we need you all very much. We need your stability. We need your love for God. We need your work. We need your smiles. We need your singing. We need your example. So thank you all, and I just want to encourage all of us to let's pray for one another. I am very thankful to be able to write the title of the message this morning. I like this a lot better than last Sunday. Last Sunday, we wrote Spirit of Defeat and talked about and looked in the Word about what causes a spirit of defeat. We are living in an age where the enemy is battling very hard right among God's people to cause us to have a spirit of defeat. In all types of areas that, well, I just can't do it, and I just tried and I failed, and to where the enemy would like to cause us to throw our hands up. I mentioned last Sunday that it seems like more and more people that are coming to an altar of prayer have got a spirit of defeat. And it almost feels like there's no hope. It's just, I'll come down because I have a problem, but they just feel like that there's no hope. But the wonderful news is this morning is that there is hope for each and every one of us. The good news this morning is that we do not have to have a spirit of defeat. Even if you have stumbled, even if you have failed, Lord, give us a spirit of victory that when I fall, I can get back up and say, by the help of God, I'm going to do better next time. And I can have a positive outlook. We are not this morning going to talk about mind over matter. We are not talking about closing our eyes and being naive or ignorant, but we are talking about putting our dependency in the one that can enable us to do what we cannot do ourselves. If we are depending on our own strength and our own ability this morning, we are going to fail. But when we can learn, even in my weakness, if I can learn to put my faith in God, I can have a spirit of victory. And when I face my weaknesses and my imperfections and I face the devil, I can have a spirit like David did. Now, last Sunday we read over in 1 Samuel 17, and so we're going to pick back up in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Remember, David's brothers and the men of Israel were afraid. We don't want to spend too much time re-preaching last Sunday, but they had a spirit of defeat. When they faced Goliath, they were affrighted. They were afraid and they went running away from the battle. But remember, David came with a different spirit. David had a spirit of victory. And so the question this morning is, how can we have that spirit? What do we need to have that we can be like David and run out to fight our Goliath instead of having a spirit of defeat like his brothers? Well, 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, there is a wonderful answer. Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." You have all of the equipment of war. You have the strength, you have the power, you have the height, you have the muscles, you have the ability, you have the training. Now, talk about having a spirit of defeat. That's almost overwhelming, isn't it? But David said, you come to me with those natural things. But he said, but. In your battles, there is a but this morning. But. In other words, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel whom thou hast defied. The weapons of our warfare this morning are not carnal. My abilities are carnal. They're fleshly. My strengths are fleshly, but so are my weaknesses. So we are not going to depend then on our own abilities or our own self-disciplines, our own background, our own raising, our own intellect, our own willpower to overcome the battles in our life. Some of those things play into it, but it's not the ultimate key to victory. David said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through who? Through God. How have you been fighting your battles? And we wonder why there's so much defeat, because we're relying too much on ourselves. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal like Goliath, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are things that they're powerful and mighty and built up. There are some things that are built up in our lives the Lord wants to come down. But after so many times of going and hitting up against the strongholds of life, pretty soon we say, well, that's just the way it is. But we have an answer in the Lord this morning that we can come like David and have a spirit of victory, because I'm not relying on my experience. I'm not relying on my mom and my dad and my grandfather. They were this way, and I just can't get victory over to you because I'm wired that way. If the way you are wired is contrary to God's will, there is victory for you to overcome strongholds in your life. But it's not going to be through your own abilities. It's in the name of the Lord. There is great and wonderful and mighty and awesome power in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. I know we've said it before, but I'll keep saying it. Many times when we pray, it is a conclusion when we say, in the name of Jesus, amen. In other words, we're kind of winding down now, right? It's kind of the wind down. Do you realize that the greatest power in prayer is in that conclusion? So when we pray, and when we come with our needs, and we come with our weaknesses, let us remember there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not facing you, enemy, Satan, by my own ability, but in the name of Jesus, get out. In the name of Jesus, I'm not giving in. In the name of Jesus, I'm not giving up. In the name of Jesus, I am not accepting that attitude. In the name of Jesus, I'm not giving into that temptation. And it's strong, and it's hard, and I'm battling it week after week and month after month. But in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to give in. There is victory in the name of Jesus this morning. There is great power, and you say, but that's pretty simple. Simple but powerful. Let us learn to evoke the name of Jesus in our fights and in our battles. Over in 1 John chapter 5, I don't want to shortchange the word this morning, so we may not even finish this, but we could go more Sundays on victory if we need to, can't we? We want to live on a plane of victory. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Saints, if you have been born of God this morning, you can overcome the world. We live it, and people act helpless. They're acting like, I can't do anything about it. I'm just helpless. We are not helpless through God this morning. Those that are born of God overcometh the world. And then he went on to say, and this is the victory. Now, okay, I want to know what he's talking about. What is the victory? This is the victory that overcometh the world. Are you struggling to overcome the world? You young people, overcoming the world, it's a battle, all right? I'm not going to tell you, if you get saved and serve the Lord, the world will just have no allure anymore. Well, I know the closer you get to God, you can start seeing the realism of what's out in the world, and you'll start seeing the damage that it causes. But there are some things in the world that will still pull and draw That is the nature and definition of what temptation is. And all of us will always be tempted until we die. See, that's part of the joy of heaven. There's not even temptation there. But until we get to heaven, there's going to be temptation. But in temptation, you can overcome. So don't feel like, well, I'm doing something wrong if something in the world's kind of drawn. But this is the victory that overcometh the world. He said, even our faith. Now, faith? That's where the victory is, folks. He said, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. In our lives, when we have been born again, what will enable us to maintain a spirit of victory is our faith in the power of Jesus Christ. Let's not get too reliant upon, well, I come from a good family. Or I come from a family that's been in the church for so many generations. Or I've been coming to the church of God and we teach the truth there. And that's not what's going to enable us to overcome the world, folks. What's going to enable us to have victory in our life is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can overcomplicate it sometimes. Doctrine is important. Doctrine, there are safeguards there. But ultimately, at the beginning and the end, it all has to do with the faith in the power of Jesus Christ. So this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's one of the keys to having a spirit of victory is faith, folks. Faith in God. Nay, in all of these things, we are what? More than conquerors. Remember hearing a story about two dogs that got in a fight. And finally, at the end, one of the dogs finally killed the other dog. But that dog that you would say, well, he was the victor, he was bleeding, and he was so cut up, he was about to die himself, and he just lay there half dead himself. But that wasn't more than a conqueror. The Lord doesn't want us to be Christians like that. Just half dead, because the battles of life are always almost to overwhelm us. Even if we didn't quite give in. We are more than conquerors through Him. See, that's where our victory's found. It's in Christ. More than conquerors. Do you remember when Peter and John wasn't walking into the temple to pray, and there was the lame man at the gate called Beautiful? And he looked on them expecting to get something, but as Peter said, look on us. And I'll tell you, if you drive along and just go down the road, there'll be someone at one of these corners down here probably looking for a handout. You roll down your window and say, look on us. You think they're going to come out with expectation. Oh, this is someone that's excited to give me something good. And he looked at them with expectation and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rise up. And while he reached out his hand and he took him and he lifted him up and the man was made whole. And the people were amazed. They were amazed. By what power did you do this? And in Acts 3, verse 16, Peter said, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith, which is by him, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Folks, there is power in the name of Jesus. Faith in his name. If you're struggling this morning, and you have been in perpetual failure or a rut, that you cannot escape. We need something to hit you out of the rut. Isn't that right? If you're in a rut in a road and you're in those ruts are deep, it takes something to get out of those ruts. It's going to take some bumping to get out. But when you are in a rut, it's almost controlling the direction you go. If you have a state or in a state of failure, if you're not careful, it will control the direction you go. We need to get out of the rut this morning. But how are we going to do it? By faith in His name. Lord, I want to approach the battle differently now. And it's not that I was just trying to do it carnally, but Lord, I'm going to trust you and put faith in you that I can overcome by the power of God. Through faith in His name, neither is there salvation in any other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Folks, it's in the name of Jesus. That's how we got saved. That's how we're going to keep saved. So, when you pray, don't be afraid to use the name of Jesus against the devil. I remember, and I've shared this before, but I remember in one of the battles when the devil was, it was a spirit of the devil. It was a spirit of evil was trying to come in there in Tanzania, in the power of darkness was literally, physically, almost at my door. And the presence of evil was so strong that even now I feel something going through my body. I still have a response. My body responds when I talk about it. And I started praying and rebuking it. And finally, I was in the room by myself. I started having to pray out loud. In one of the things I began praying was in the name of Jesus. We sing the song in the name of Jesus. You know, it's more than a song. When you are battling the devil, we must call on the name of Jesus because the devil hates it. The devil hates it. Let's use the tools that God has given us. Jesus is pure. He's holy. He's good. He's all powerful. And when we claim the name of Jesus, it's not just a conclusion. Let's not let it be a conclusion as we battle the devil. Goliath, I come to you in the name of the Lord. That wasn't a conclusion, that was the beginning. You know, it's almost like after, if he would have done through his own strength, done something, and then right before he cut off his head, say, in the name of Jesus. You know what? Go ahead and say in the name of Jesus before you cut Goliath's head off. But if you want to cut his head off, you're going to have to call on the name of Jesus before that point. There's power in His name. The devil is doing all that he can to accuse God's people. He's doing everything he can to zap us of our spiritual enthusiasm. Have you noticed that? Do you notice how much praise there was at Monarch this year? Anybody besides me notice that? How much praise was there at our national meeting this year? Now I'm talking to home folks. There was very little, folks. I got there halfway through the meeting. And I think I know some of the reasons. Shame on the devil. When we come together, we should have a spirit of praise and thanksgiving, not just because we're together, but because through the week we have been opening up our hearts to God and come with a spirit of worship and a spirit of praise. Lord, help us to have a spirit of praise. But the devil would like to accuse God's people. Have you ever come to service being accused? Did it damper your praise and enthusiasm in any way? I dare say it does if you feel accused of the devil. You know what we need to do when the devil accuses us? We need to cast him down. So let's turn and read Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, it is a beautiful passage, and if you all want a recipe to having a spirit of victory, you write this scripture down and keep it with you. Memorize it. Get it in your heart. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength. In other words, now has come the victory. It's not a time of defeat anymore. And the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuse them before our God day and night. Folks, the enemy is trying to cause us to be defeated. But the accuser, the good news is the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. And so this tells us what the early saints did to overcome the enemy. And they overcame him They overcame. In other words, they had a spirit of victory. You want to know how to overcome the devil in your life? They overcame him, number one. See, now you're going to follow a recipe. Now, we've talked about the name of Jesus. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. If we are going, that is so closely, integrally tied with the name of Jesus, right? Because Jesus shed his blood that we might have victory. This is the reason that all of the people in the Old Testament, they had doctrine. They had law, but they were not able to maintain a life of victory. Too many people today are living as if they were under the law. I have my doctrines, and I'm going to try to do this just right. I'm going to dress just right, and I'm not going to go to these places, and I'm not going to have this in my home, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to... It sounds like a law, doesn't it? Now, the New Testament does give us doctrine. It does give us things to do and not do, but they didn't have victory in the Old Testament by doing things a carnal man can do. You know, the carnal person can dress modestly. The carnal person can come to service. The carnal man can pray. The carnal man can give money and put money in the offering. The carnal man can fast. The carnal man can not go certain places. The carnal man cannot drink. The carnal man... We say, oh, but I thought that's what defined our Christianity. Absolutely not. Those things are byproducts or fruit of a heart that has been made pure only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because see, they had the law in the Old Testament. So we're not going to find victory by maintaining a law in the New Testament. If I can just be good enough, or I can pray a little bit longer, or I can fast more, or I can... No, those things come with it. But true victory only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. They overcame the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb. Do you know it is we are saved by the blood of Jesus this morning? We are saved not because of our works. We are saved by grace through what? Through faith. Here comes that word faith again. In other words, faith in what? Not in my own ability. Not in that I'm keeping the doctrine so good. But my faith is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then the works that come out are because of that faith of what Jesus has done in my life. So, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. We walk, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from what? All sin. 1 John 1:7. If you have had sin in your past, has the devil ever come after you've done something wrong and you've asked the Lord to forgive you and you were just under the spirit of accusation of what you did? You remember that and you just can't escape it? Maybe it was after you started out for the Lord and you kind of made a mess of something or some things. And you ask the Lord to forgive you and help you get going again. And the devil just holds it over your head. He's an accuser. He wants you to have a spirit of defeat. How do we overcome that? They overcame the accuser by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. The blood of Jesus cleanseth us. How does it work? I don't know. But I know it works. I was a sinner. I was stained with guilt and sin. And I pled the blood of Jesus. And He cleansed it. He got the stain out. Folks, there are some people walking around that have some stains on their clothes. They've got some stains. And as well, I tried this product. And I tried Clorox. And I tried this. And I tried that. I had it was someone that was married to my grandma for a while. That doesn't sound real good either, does it? He was someone that they were married for two or three, just a few years, and he turned out, he ended up being an extremely wealthy man. And he had a business that sold Zout. They used to sell it in Walmart even. They've rebranded it now. Someone bought them out. But they made a cleansing product. You can actually still buy it in some specialty shops, and they sell it in little bottles, and it's expensive. But we had some. We were given bottles and bottles of this. And remember, we ran out. You know the blood of Jesus hasn't run out? And you could try all these other products. Have you put Zout on it? And Zout had ingredients and properties, and it wasn't a miracle worker, but it sure did work good on stains that you couldn't get out with other products. Folks, you can try certain things. You can psychology can do some things. Their counseling can do some things. Having self-discipline can do some things, but there is nothing that cleanses us like the blood of Jesus Christ. See, those other things minister to symptoms. The blood gets to the root of the problem. The blood is the only thing that can cleanse the heart. It cleanses us from all sin. And the wonderful thing is, the blood has lost none of its power. So in our battles, and we say, I've been defeated, we can have a spirit of victory because I come in the name of Jesus and I claim the blood. We sing that song as I claim or I plead the blood. I claim the blood. Do you know that has been the answer in some of my battles of life over and over, and I can testify that it works this morning. In my struggles, Lord, I claim the blood. And I'm talking about after I was saved. The blood of Jesus is not just for the sinner. The blood of Jesus is for those of us that are walking with God and we're being tempted and struggling. Lord, I need power that I don't have. I claim the blood of Jesus. When the things are coming to your mind and battling your mind and imaginations, claim the blood of Jesus. Actively, verbally, we'll get to verbal, not today. We'll get there, well, at least not this morning. Well, we're just going to stop with the blood this morning because it's a good place to end on. But do you realize that it's something that there, it will work a miracle to actively proclaim the blood of Jesus. It has worked miracles in my life physically. I don't know if any of you remember the times that I used to jerk so hard and shake, and it got to a place, I was on a trip to Canada, and I was physically about unable to go, and I was in tears before God and on the way. I remember the Lord just gave me a mental image of the blood of Jesus being applied. And I knelt down beside my bed and I said, Lord, I said, just cover me with your blood. And the Lord relieved the severity of that continual jerking, and it never came back like it had been. And the Lord didn't perfect the healing at that time. There were still some years to come. But He took away the severity. And in my mind, when it started coming back, it's, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood. There's power in the blood to heal those that have emotional needs this morning. I still believe that. I still believe, call me crazy, call me naive, I still believe in the power of the blood of Jesus to bring emotional healing to people. I still believe in the power of the blood to take the drug addict and to miraculously purge them from their addictions. I still believe that this morning. I still believe that when we are sick, as we are submitted to His will, that there is still power to heal the body. Sometimes He doesn't choose to heal the body, but He always chooses to heal the soul. He always chooses to cleanse from sin. So what's gonna cause the spirit of defeat to dissipate among us as a people? It's gonna be coming back to the basics of what it means to serve God. It's gonna come back down to the basics that maybe, is it possible? It's not an accusation, but is it possible that as a people, we have started to get our eyes too much on what we do and what we don't do, and we began to lose some of the basic fundamentals of the power that's in Jesus Christ. This is what will dispel the spirit of defeat. The accuser of the brethren was cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And I am so thankful for that power that's still there this morning. I'm so thankful for the ability in my needs and in my brokenness and in my failure that I can look at the devil and I can call on the name of Jesus and I can proclaim the blood and I can plead the blood, and it cleanses and it restores and it renews and it gives me something to stand on that I can run out to face the Goliath with a spirit of victory, and I don't have to be afraid anymore. because we have found the answer in the power of Jesus Christ. Amen.